We know that Christmas is an amazing gift to us that we celebrate at Christmas time, God-giving. But then there's all sorts of things that Jesus gives us in our lives and that we saw in the ministry and life of Jesus and that continues through history and to today that we get to enjoy too. So we're going to remember some of those and think about maybe even how we can give gifts back to God in recognizing those gifts that Jesus gives us as well. And so we'll each of these gifts that we're going to open will symbolize that a little bit. So, Aislinn, can you be getting our close-ups as well as we do that? Okay, so our first one, do we have a close-up? Mm-hmm. Is an invitation from God. And so this envelope says, you're invited. And we open it up, and it says, the best thing about knowing a person like you is everything. And I wrote in there, I've prepared a place for you in my kingdom. Love, Jesus. And so we can remember again that in coming, Jesus gives us an invitation to be a part of God's kingdom. And Jesus showed this spirit of invitation in all sorts of ways throughout his ministry. There was table fellowship where he would gather everyone together to show, even if you are normally not the type of person who would get invited to a big dinner party or feast in my kingdom with my people, I'm going to gather all these folks together, whether they would normally get invited or not. He went and touched lepers that other people would not touch to heal them and to help them be included again in the fellowship of the community. And then Jesus also invited a range of disciples, all sorts of different people from all walks of life, all sorts of viewpoints were represented in that community that Jesus brought together. And Jesus continues to do that in our lives where we are invited to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we can be thankful that we're not just sort of told, well, think all these things about God and whatever connection you may or may not have, that we know that God brings us together fully as community. All right, so now we'll do our next one. We'll get a close-up again. Okay, so here's our next gift to open from God. And we have a cute little baby sheep. And so these gifts will symbolize different things to us, as you might expect. And so the sheep represents the teachings, actually, that Jesus gave us and the ways that we can learn as disciples how life can work and how God loves us because of the way that Jesus taught. And so we might remember that in particular, there's a few different parables that Jesus gave that use sheep, right? The good shepherd. Even when most of the sheep are all together, if one of us strays and is having a hard time, that God will not say, well, I've got most of the people, so everything's all set. God loves to chase after us no matter. Are you going to adjust it and make sure it works better? All right. God will chase after us and find us even in those hard times and gather us together. And there's all sorts of beautiful parables, things about the Good Samaritan and how we know that any person, even the unexpected, can be a part of what God is doing and be valued. The sower and the seed, and hoping to keep an eye out for the lessons that God gives us and learn from them and do good soil. And so we know we live in a complicated world that is not always easy to make sense of. And the fact that Jesus gives us teaching to help make sense of it is a wonderful gift that we can hold close to us and help us navigate that complicated world. All right, so now I've got a next one. Make sure we go off of this, the close-up sometimes, too. All right, so this is not a candy, even though it looks kind of like a candy. Aislinn did some good sneaky wrapping on behalf of God. And so this one we have is an empty cup. And this may seem like kind of an unusual, surprising one to do for Christmas, but I promise that has a lesson, too. So in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes a hymn that had begun to be sung by the early Christian communities where it talks about how even though Jesus was in very nature God, that God chose not to hold on to or grasp or be selfish with that power and glory, but to empty God's self and to become a human, just like us, and not even a human, but a servant to all of the world to be willing to sacrifice. And so that idea that God could have stayed far off and said, I'm God and you're not, and I want nothing to do with you other than you say I'm great, that God was willing to even give up aspects of what it meant to be God so that he could also take on the difficulties, the challenging experiences, the limitations of being a human and fully relate to those things that we experience ourselves. And in that love, help us through all of those things. And so when we see an empty cup, we can remember that part of who Jesus was this amazing miracle of God saying, I'll give up some of that so that I can most of all be with you and understand you and walk with you. And you can know that I understand what it's like to go through whatever it is that you're going through. And that's an amazing gift to have that connection from God.
All right, what's our next one?
Okay. Our next one is a tree. And so I'm curious maybe if people remember a favorite story of someone Jesus met who was in a tree. We learn about it a lot in Sunday school. It's got a funky name. Starts with Z. He was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. His name was Zacchaeus. And so this tree can remind us in particular of Zacchaeus, but the overall gift is forgiveness that Jesus offers. And so Zacchaeus was someone who had been working as a tax collector, and he had been taking too much money from people to make money for himself. So he'd gotten really rich. And at the time, actually, the only way tax collectors got paid, they didn't get paid by the government who told them to collect the tax, is basically like, you have to take tax from people, and then you give us a certain amount, and then the only way you have a salary is if you keep money after that. So that's kind of a hard spot to be in as a tax collector. But also then a lot of people would take advantage of that and make themselves really rich off of other people. And Zacchaeus had been doing that. But Jesus offered him forgiveness. You don't have to be that way. You can be part of the kingdom and live a different way and have your position be something that actually protects and cares for people. So Zacchaeus was willing to say, I'm sorry. I'm going to give back even more money than I had taken from people so that they can be more stable again. And that created a whole new possibility of life and inclusion, and he was excited about it. It made him feel free to not be hated or to feel like he was exploiting people anymore, that there was a different way to be, that Jesus could bring him in. And we have that same opportunity of forgiveness. Jesus also offered that to a woman caught in adultery, to a woman at a well who they had been caught up in sinful circumstances, and that Jesus said, you don't have to do that anymore. That in my community, we can live a life following God's guidance and values, and we'll support each other in doing that, even if there are things that make us feel trapped in those circumstances. You can be forgiven, you can have a new start, and you don't have to carry shame anymore. You can move forward. And so even those things that we feel like God would never say that it was okay after this thing that had happened, or everyone else sees me as a horrible person, even if I'm trying to step away from that part of my past, how could God love me too? But we can know in those stories of forgiveness, that gift that Jesus gives us, that even in those things that we worry, this makes me unworthy of God, that God will hold us close, bring us in, and give us a possibility of new life that we can be proud of and excited about. And that's a wonderful part of forgiveness. All right, what do you have for me next? All right, our next gift from Jesus is, it's a yummy, tasty bread. I'm not going to take any bites of it, though. But this is some bread, daily bread. And we can remember that Jesus also did a lot of miracles of provision. And so there's the feeding of the 5,000. There's the feeding of the 4,000. Again, there's all of those different times, like we talked about earlier. Table fellowship was in part about bringing people together and feeling included. But it was also just having a place where people could know, I have a good meal to eat. And so we know that Jesus understands even our basic needs and says that that is a part of what it means to be the kingdom of God too. That our spiritual health is important, our forgiveness, our ways of moving forward, but that Jesus also recognizes that it's important just to have the basic needs of what we have, and that that is a part of being spiritual, is to take care of yourself, to take care of other people, and to be a community where we make sure that everyone has stability in what they need, and that's one of the ways that we live out our faith. And that sometimes that can feel like just a, you know, logistical kind of practical thing, but in fact Jesus connects that to our spiritual lives, and so we can connect with God when we serve the least of these, they say, with things like, do they have water? Do they have warmth? Do they have food? If they are in a difficult place like prison or somewhere else, do we take care of them? That's something that Jesus taught as well. And so we can know that even when we're doing those practical things, that God comes close, and we have that as an aspect of our spiritual life as well, which is a wonderful gift. And we pray that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, a reminder that Jesus is with us as we seek our daily bread and helps us get what we need in all sorts of ways. All right, so here's our next gift from Jesus. It is a doctor's bag. And so that can remind us of the many healing miracles that Jesus did, and that Jesus continues to seek to heal us and make us whole in all sorts of ways. And so we can remember some of the miracles, like Jesus helped a blind man who was at a well and had been begging for years and years and years, had been born blind. And this was kind of one of the weird, gross things that Jesus did, where he like spit on the ground and rubbed mud on the man's eyes. And then as it peeled away, he found that he was able to see. But one of the most amazing things about that is that Jesus also, in his healing, took away some of the stigma and exclusion and shame that people had attached to when things go bad for us in health or in other parts of our life. So when he healed that man, he said, and by the way, some of you have thought that this man should be excluded because he was blind, and he wouldn't be blind unless God was punishing him or his parents and thought his parents or him were bad people. But I'm telling you that that is not the way that misfortune or that illness works. Everyone, no matter what their circumstances, is in the presence and fullness of God's love. And so not only did Jesus heal a physical ailment, but healed some of those other stigmas, that exclusion. The same thing is true, like I said, where Jesus was willing to touch lepers that no one else would touch. And so not only were they healed from their leprosy, but they had that sense of, I'm not dirty. Someone cares about me. Someone is willing to see me as who I am and not be scared, but bring me close and help me connect with other people. There was a woman that Jesus healed who was foreign, a Canaanite who people would have called a dog, but that Jesus said, kind of turned it as sort of like a joke and a parody, and said with her, you know, even dogs will get scraps from their master's table. And we know that God's table has abundance, where it's like the scraps is like the feast that's just falling over because no table has enough room for all that God gives. And so even those that people try to keep on the outside, God heals, God brings in, God makes full. And so that amazing healing from God is a gift that we can have, whether we are sick and just want to feel better, or also if we know that we feel excluded, and we know that in healing, God sees everything that we are dealing with, whether it's physical illness, feeling alone, feeling cast out. God will heal all of it and help us connect with others. I know now we've got some very special last ones that we were holding off to the side. Thank you. So we'll do our green one now. We'll open up another gift. And this gift is a cross, as we might expect. And so this symbolizes the gift of sacrifice that Jesus came and brought for us. And so, like we mentioned earlier, this meant that Jesus was willing to sacrifice Jesus' life, but also Jesus sacrificed the idea of being God in a way that would have all power and stop every possible bad thing that could happen to Jesus. So Jesus was willing to receive that, to empathize. And so we can remember that this sacrifice comes also from Jesus being willing to stand up to the worst parts of what was happening in his world. Jesus was executed by the Romans the same way that they executed lots of people who just didn't do what they wanted and were trying to live their life in their country and have more sense of health and rights and ability to not be oppressed all the time. And Jesus said, yes, God is trying to create that type of world where there won't be oppressors and people who are oppressed. God is trying to create that type of world where it's not run on hate and death and destruction, but it's run by people coming together and using God's love to help each other out. And that was threatening to people who were powerful and they were willing to kill him. So Jesus was willing not only to just sort of give his life, but to do it in a way that showed the type of world that God is trying to create. And that even when that creates cost, Jesus is going to continue to work for that world. And so a lot of us, we want to see a certain type of world happen when there are things that are broken in our society as well. And we can know that Jesus did that first and shows us how. That when we feel like there's something that we have a cost for because we're doing what God is calling us to, that Jesus did that first. And that, in fact, even if we lose something, we know that we are gaining something more, just like Jesus was in losing something, but knowing that there was something better that Jesus was always going after. All right. And let's do our very last one. It's not a power strip. Sorry. It's one of those gifts where it's like, it seems like it's one thing and then you open the box and it's something else. So reach in. And it is a stone. So we might remember that this could be a little smaller, but like a symbol of the stone that was rolled away when Jesus was raised on Easter. And that new life, that resurrection, that death is not the final word anymore gift is the pinnacle of what God offers us, and that we are able to participate in the new life that Jesus started. After Jesus was risen, he appeared to the followers. He said, "You can continue to follow me. Go and continue to make disciples, even as I will go into heaven." And so it's a life that we receive that we know will connect us with God forever, but it's also a life that we get to experience right now in the midst of things as well. And so even when things are dark, even when things are painful, we know that there's a new life that we can be participating in that is as powerful as the resurrection, and that that will help us through those darkest times, that will help us overcome those obstacles that seem to be making the world not the way that God would want it. And that's an amazing gift, that resurrection power can come even in glimpses and tastes in our everyday life, and that we can experience Jesus with us in those types of moments, and that's really wonderful. So I'm curious then, those two, the cross and the resurrection, and the fact that Jesus said, now you can go and make disciples, you can do even greater things than I did, they remind us that Jesus is saying, I give you gifts, and that you can continue to participate with them. And so the same way that maybe someone might give us a gift like, my kids get new video games. It would be weird if they just looked at the little cartridge and said, ooh, what a neat game, and they never played it. Or if you got an amazing new cooking set and you just displayed it on your counter but never used it to cook anything, that would seem a little bit weird. The gifts are given to be used and enjoyed and to sort of maximize on, that then we are able to use them to give gifts and connect with other people. So with the cross, Jesus taught that we can take up our cross and follow him and be a part of standing up to a dark world the same way that he did. We're invited to be a part of new life, just like Jesus offered in being resurrected. If you'd like, does anyone have any thoughts about ways that we might be able to use these gifts that Jesus gives and give them back to God and to those around us to sort of pay forward those gifts that God gives and see God's kingdom come more and more in the world around us? That could be something we do at Christmas, in giving a gift as well as receiving one.
Well, I think our community outreach with the garden,
yeah,
Ren, and participation with Goodwill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. There's amazing partnerships and relationships and things that we're doing to make sure that what we have is available for the use of those who need it, and that we have those amazing relationships with people that may sometimes be left out otherwise.
And also the ministry at Taylor Springs and Chestnut Hill.
Yeah, Taylor Springs and Chestnut Hill, too. Those are all gifts that we give back and forth, that God is amongst us and we know that we are giving gifts to others, but that we're also receiving gifts from those relationships and partnerships too. And that circle, I think, is exactly what God wants to see. And so if anyone wants to participate in any of those things, you always can. And of course, if you have other things where you see those same types of circles of gift with God at the center of it, we're always happy to see those types of opportunities as well. Yeah. Any other types of thoughts?
Through the choir. Mm-hmm. Vicki plays the piano, and she's not feeling well right now, but she plays the piano. Lori is wonderful. The play that we put on, and touch bases there with the people that come in. And there's just so much that this church is doing at this point, not to glorify the church, but to glorify God.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's all about. That's what this season is all about. Jesus is certainly the reason for the season. For sure.
I love that, Brent. Yeah, the idea that we can recognize the gifts that God has given us, also just in ourselves, the things that we have passions that we love to do, the things that we have as abilities that are neat, that we can do something and put something out into the world, and that we know that God gave us that, and so that when we use those things and help bring light and life and happiness to other people, or help people make sense of the world when they, you know, see a profound play or hear a meaningful song that we sing or that we share those gifts, that's something where we're taking what God has given us and honoring God and thanking God by sharing it forward, and knowing that that can bring something meaningful to other people too. And every time we do that, we love to do it. And anyone, again, that has a gift that they want to share, we want to give that opportunity to. Yeah, thank you for that. So yeah, and I think as we remember some of the gifts too, I'll lift up that in addition to these wonderful examples and ways that we can bring resurrection life to other people, that we can take up our cross to stand up for good things in the world, that we can do things continuing to be ready to learn and be surprised by God and not get too stuck in our ways, but continue to always be disciples. We can continue to share whatever we have the same way that Jesus did with daily bread. We can look to support people through hard times, in whether they're sick or something else, especially where they might otherwise feel like I would be shamed or I would be left out because of what I'm dealing with. And we can continue to offer invitation to people around us the same way that God offered invitation to us, so that they know that there's always a sense of belonging in God's people. If you're feeling like there's not a place for you, that God has a place for you. And that we can do all of this with humility, the same way that Jesus emptied from God to be a human and connect with us, that we can remember that it's good for us to be ready to connect with other people and understand something from them, as much as we hope that other people understand us too, and that can be something that's shared the same way that God did. And so I think these are lots of great ways that we can appreciate what God has done and think about the use and difference that can make in our lives from day to day. And I hope we're able to do that together. I know I really love how we do that and all those ways together already, like Lisa and Brent lifted up in particular. So those are all of our fun